Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. And it's great to be back in the house of God tonight. Amen. You came back. I didn't scare you away this morning. That's a good thing. And I trust that you got a good rest this afternoon. And, you know, there's something to be said about a Sunday night crowd. I mean, you are for real. I mean, you are here on a Sunday night. And that just means that you are desiring truly something from God tonight. And I would just encourage you that you just jump in right now. And, you know, because you could have slept a lot more comfortable at home. Right? I mean, amen? I mean, you've already come to church. We might as well have church. Amen? We're already here. Man, what a wonderful time of worship. And let's just pray that God would continue in that and that he would continue to minister into every one of our lives. And I know that God did some things this morning, but that was this morning. He's got something else for tonight. Amen? And I trust that every time that you come expecting something from God. You see, that's the great thing about God is he is a big enough God to meet every one of us on whatever level we are with him. It doesn't matter if we've been a Christian for 70 years or 7 days, God in his infinite wisdom is able to meet with us wherever we're at, all of us in the same service. And so enter in, get into the altars. That's where God changes lives. That's where people are healed and set free and delivered. And it's such a privilege to be here. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here in your church. We are excited. We've already had a great day, and we're just looking for a great week, and it's going to be good. And let me encourage you, take this time, this special time that your pastor and the leadership of this church and you have invested in this special time, and let's get somebody here that needs Christ. Let's do what we have to do. You know, I think a long time ago, we got off on the wrong foot as far as how we approach inviting people to church. You know what we do? And this is the perspective of someone that's lost, that doesn't come to church and doesn't know of God's grace and the wonderful time that we have. A person's perspective of church outside is that church is the way it's portrayed on TV or movies or out there in the world, that it's just this boring, dry, dead religion. But how many knows that it's not about religion, it's about a relationship with God, amen? And it's wonderful. I mean, we count it a privilege to come into God's presence and worship him in this setting. I mean, I've told many people for all these 15 years that I've been an evangelist, and by the way, you have some of the nicest people in this church ever, because somebody says, well, did you start when you were 12 years old? Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I hope I have a baby face until I die. That's okay. I told them that's what good living will do for you, right? I'm actually almost 42, so God is good. But this is what I've always told people. I was like, I don't know if God thought I would be a good evangelist or if he thought I needed more church than most people. And I think it was the latter, because we're in church all the time, and I never get tired of it. And this is our normal life, and we don't get to just be in church on Sunday. We get to be in church other nights, and so what a privilege. But I think many times we approach asking someone that's not a Christian, that doesn't go to church, that doesn't know of this, we approach it all in the wrong way. Because what do? We go ask somebody in the world, at work, at school. We say, hey, we are having these special services at church this week. On Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, would you like to come one night with me to these special services? Do you know what? Basically, you've just asked somebody. You just said, after you worked hard all day, would you love to come and sit and fall asleep and be bored to death in a church service with me? That's what you've asked. So what else is their answer going to be but no? Do you know what else that you've also invited? Someone maybe that doesn't know of this presence of God that we feel in here. You've just said, hey, how would you like to come and sit under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and can be completely convicted about the lifestyle that you're leading? Oh, yeah, can I please come? Yeah. Instead of asking them, would they like to come to church, why don't you ask them this? What would it take for you to spend one service with me this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? What would it take for you to come and be my special guest? Because you know what? Everybody has a price. And the great thing about that question is, no is not an answer. What would it take? And you know what? That's where we get creative, and that's where we throw out things. because everybody's going to have an excuse during the work week, during the school week, of why they can't come. And you jump in there. Maybe it's a mom that has kids, and she's got to fix dinner for everybody and her husband and the kids when they're coming home. And there's like, no, that's when you jump in and say, don't you worry about dinner. We're going to provide dinner for your family, and then we'll make sure you get here. What, you know, there's a million things that we come up with, and you, like, come on, grandmas. You know your grandson loves your pies that you make. You say, I'll bake you your favorite dessert. I'll take you out for dinner. I'll do whatever it takes. What will it take for you to come get somebody here this week? Because truly we should make this week not about us, but about them. Amen? Because the reason we exist is not for the people inside the walls. It's for those that are outside the walls that do not know of his love yet. Amen? And that's what we should do. Come on, young people, invite your friends this week. I promise I won't embarrass you. Not one amen. Y'all don't trust me. Come on, mom and dad, invite your neighbors, invite your friends, invite your coworkers. I promise that God's presence will minister to whoever you bring, and God's going to reach people this week for the glory of God. Thank you so much for investing in our ministry. This is all we do. We live by faith, and not only do we live and operate as a ministry because of your generosity, but we're also able to do these soccer salvation camps that I talked about this morning. We don't just do one a year. It's not a little side project. We try to do 3 to 4 every year. And every one of these costs $15,000 to $20,000. And we just got back from one. We need to pay off that one. We need to start the budget for this next one in July in São Paulo, Brazil. And so thank you so much. Go to our website, ronroads.org, or Facebook. Look at the pictures. See what we're doing. Check out where you're investing. And we appreciate it so very much. I want you to welcome my wonderful, beautiful wife, Heather. She comes to minister in song tonight. Would you welcome her one more time?
Walking, stumbling on these shadow feet toward home, a land that I've never seen. I am changing, less and less asleep, made of different stuff than when I began. And I have sensed it all along. Fast approaching is the day when the world has fallen out from under me. True reality and whispers of the well-lit way. When the world has fallen out from under me, I'll be found in you, still standing. When the sky rolls up and mountains fall on their knees, when time and space are through, be found in you. foundation under my feet. When time and space are through, I'll be found in you. When time and space are through, I'll be found in you. When time and space are through, I'll be found in you.
Aren't you glad he makes all things new? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to stand with me, if you would, please, for the reading of God's word tonight. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. How many have your amens warmed up tonight? Come on, this is a Sunday night crowd. Come on, a strong amen. How many have your amens warmed up tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Philippians chapter 1. I want to read three verses. Starting verse 12, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Father, we thank you for this night that we've already had in your presence and for this time of worship. God, I thank you for these wonderful saints of God that have come out on this Sunday night. Lord, they're hungry. Lord, these young people, these moms and dads, these adults that have said, Lord, we desire more of you. God, I pray, Lord, tonight through your word that your anointing would be so real and it would speak to us and you would challenge us. And God, that we would begin to face our week tomorrow morning with a fresh challenge and a new challenge. God, that you would speak to every one of us, and Lord, that we would have a special time in this altar. We thank you and we praise you in advance for what you're going to do tonight. And we give you all glory and honor and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Before you're seated, give someone a big hug and say, you look good. Amen. Praise the Lord. As an evangelist that travels around from coast to coast, and we find ourselves in Pentecostal churches all the time, and you listen to guys on TV, and there is this almost this feeling that in the church of people promoting this agenda of we got to think positive, we got to believe that as Christians, everything's always positive and there's no problems and there's no worries. And I want to tell you that that's not necessarily based upon scripture, because if Paul, the guy that wrote more books of the Bible than anybody else, if he had to write part of the Bible from prison, how many knows that doesn't line up? How many knows that you can be in the center of God's will, doing everything you're supposed to be doing, and still find yourself in a prison every once in a while? Amen? And whatever that prison may be, it may be a prison of disease, pain, rejection, all kinds of things. How many knows that as Christians, in the center of God's will, doing things right, we can still find ourselves in chains? We can still find ourselves in difficult times. We can find ourselves without a job. We can find ourselves in the middle of a disease or whatever there may be. There's times in our lives as Christians that we're going to have challenges. And it's amazing how we want to project maybe this image in the church today that, oh no, it's just a positive world and it's just positive sayings. How many know that that doesn't cut it? When you're face-to-face with the reality of the world, how many knows it takes a deep relationship with God to find yourself in a prison, bound by chains that you don't deserve, and yet God is still able to flow through you enough to write part of the Bible. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to go somewhere with God this week. I want to be stretched and motivated. I want to be stretched to a new place with God. I want to be at the place that Paul was, that even if I find myself in the hardest time of my life, I want God to be able to use me in the middle of that. I want to find God doing something incredible through that time. I mean, if you can write part of the Bible from prison, bound by chains, let me tell you, that's a place of maturity that I want to go with God. And what would it be like in this world if we as the body of Christ, no matter what we're going through, we project the joy of the Lord? Because this is what's so important, is as the body of Christ, whether it's at school, whether it's at the workplace, whether it's in our homes, that we should be different when we're going through the tough times of life. We should be different from the world when they're going through the same thing. But the reality is, so many times we're not. And they say there's supposed to be something different about you. We've got to find out what Paul was talking about. This is kind of, how many parents in this room know what I'm talking about? We always want it better for our kids than we had it, right? Right? We do. We want to make things better. And how many, as parents, I'm talking to myself, I'm looking in the mirror, how many would agree that sometimes we take that to an unhealthy level because we want our kids to have it better than us? In fact, I remember not too long ago, this was a pastor in Montana, and he told me something so funny because we got on the subject of cake batter. How many knows that that is from God? That is like cake batter is far better than the cake. Can I get an amen? Come on, can I get a witness? How many knows that cookie dough is far better than the cookie? In my house, the stick of cookie dough is consumed more as cookie dough than as cookies. Come on, if I can't get an amen for cookie dough, this is a tough crowd here. Come on. I know it's got raw eggs. Oh, no. We would have all died a long time ago if it was so bad. And don't talk to me about it'll cause cancer. I've already done that. Okay, scare me with something real. Okay. And this pastor said he was talking about when he was a kid, and his mom said, "You can't eat the cake batter. It's bad for you. It's got raw eggs in you." And he says, "When I become a dad, I'm going to let my kids just take a spoon and go after a whole bowl." And he's like, he talked about when he grew up as a dad and he had three girls. He said, "We would make cake batter and never cook it. We would just get little spoons and just eat it. Yes, we got sick, but we enjoyed getting sick." How many of us, we want to do things as parents that we couldn't do as kids? And sometimes, you know, I like to call this generation of children and young people the helmet padded generation, or the everybody gets a trophy generation. Do you realize there are sports leagues today that, oh, we don't want our kids to suffer what it means to lose a game. Oh, bless their hearts. How many knows that's not reality? How many knows there's times that you win? There's times you get the contract? There's times you get the job? There's times, you know, you get chosen to the team? There's times that you don't. Not everybody gets a trophy is reality. But yet there are sports leagues today. Don't take it personal if you're the president of one. Please, I'm not meaning anything bad. I'm just saying that we have this image of trying to protect our kids, and we don't want them to ever experience what it means to lose a game. Well, that's preparation for real life, because sometimes we lose. Sometimes it's rough situations, and not everybody gets a trophy. I like to call them the helmet padded generation is because, I mean, have you seen some kids when they're learning how to ride their bicycle or skateboard or something? They look like the Michelin Man or the Pillsbury Doughboy. I mean, kids today, they are so mistreated. You know why? Because they don't know what it's like to leave skin on the pavement. Do you know that kids today think strawberries are fruit to eat? How many knows truly what a strawberry is? Come on. I know there's a generation here that understands what a strawberry is. A strawberry is when you leave flesh and blood on the pavement because you fell off your bike. Today, kids don't even know they've fallen off the bike. They're so covered from head to toe. Their mom got them covered. I mean, got helmets, elbow pads, knee pads, body casts. I mean, bulletproof vest. They just fall off the bike and bounce back up. They can keep on going. How many knows when we learned how to ride our bikes, if we fell off, we're going, I don't want to do that again. That hurt. Kids today, they are so mistreated. How many knows there was no seatbelt law back in the day? Kids today, they don't know what it's like to get banged up against the front windshield. How many, come on, be honest, how many remember sleeping in the back of the car up there in the window? Come on, you took a nap up there. You know what I'm talking about. Kids today don't know what it's like to get slammed in the window when dad slams on the brake. Seatbelts, what is that? Kids today, they're so mistreated, they don't even know what it's like to be riding in the back of a pickup and get slammed up. Come on, it's against the law now. Kids are so mistreated. I mean, kids today, they're so protected. They are so mistreated. They don't know what it's like to get their head stuck in their crib because we figured out to put the slats close enough together now. Kids, they just don't know what it's like to get shocked. Now we got these nice little guards that go into our plugs. They don't know what it's like to stick a wire hanger into a wire. They're mistreated. They are. The reality is there's going to be times in our life that we go through tough times, but we don't give up. It's not a moment that we think that God doesn't care about us or love us. Can you imagine that moment for Paul? He's sitting there in prison. And you know what? I'm going to challenge you with something tonight. I don't know about your pain, but my pain costs way too much to waste. You know what one of the greatest tragedies is today of the church is that we waste our pain. There's a lot of wasted pain. But I don't know about you, but my pain costs way too much to waste. So many times we waste our pain on ourselves. We waste it. Because life can be difficult and it can be challenging. But wouldn't you far rather come out of a painful time in your own prison, in your own chains, knowing that you were used by God in the middle of that to write words of wisdom and encouragement in the number one bestseller of all time called the Bible? Wouldn't it be great to know that what you went through as a child at the hands of a child pedophile? Do you want to just be another abuse victim? Or do you want that horrible, painful prison that you went through, do you want it to mean more than just another statistic? Do you want to be more than just another statistic that you went through a horrible divorce or went through the pain of cancer or whatever it may be? I don't know about you, but the things that I went through, I don't want to be just another victim. I don't want to be someone that's just went through a lot of pain in my life and for it to be wasted, because let me tell you, my God and my Lord went to the cross and he paid the price so that my pain didn't have to be wasted. It didn't have to be wasted on killing myself or turning to drugs or alcohol. No, he says you can go through the pain of life and you can face the prisons of life and you can come out on the other side with a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. You can go and you can experience the presence of God. I mean, look at what Paul said. He says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Can you really say tonight that the pain of your past has helped us to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see, it was 15 years ago that God spoke to me about the first time of sharing my testimony. I'd been a youth pastor for 5 years already and never once had shared my testimony, because God had to bring me through that time in which he turned my pain and my sorrow and my sadness into joy. Because you know what? It was a bad strategy move upon the devil's part the day that he thought he could stop this little 10-year-old boy in the state of Colorado by a child pedophile. It was a bad strategy move upon the enemy's part. He thought he could stop the dream before it had a chance to begin. Because from the day that God began to heal me and set me free, I determined that I would spend the rest of my life going around the world and telling people that no matter what you go through, no matter what you face, that there are tough times in life. But when Jesus went to the cross, that's the day that I stopped having an excuse to waste my pain on myself. That was the day that I lost my excuse to kill myself. That was the day that I stopped losing my chance to give up on life and to quit and to be overwhelmed by the pain of my past. No, I grabbed a hold of my future. And you see, tonight, your future is secure. Just like Paul knew, he knew that this prison wasn't forever. You see, the problem is so many times we as Christians, we spend our entire time inside the prison trying to get out. When all the while God is saying, don't spend all your time and waste all your time trying to get out. I've got your way out already figured out. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I'm your soon coming king. I've got it all figured out. Just talk to Peter. I don't care how many gates you're behind. I don't care how many guards there are. I don't care what the chains are of your past and your life. I've got it all figured out. I've got the exact time and the exact moment that I'm going to get you out. There's a day that I've ordained for your healing. There's a day that I've ordained for your deliverance. There's a day that I have determined that you're going to be free. But I need you while you're on the inside as much as I need you when you are on the outside. Because you know what? There's as many people on the inside that need you to have victory as they do on the outside. You see, everybody can have victory and joy when you are over the test. Everybody can have joy when you get out of prison. You kidding me? But can we have the joy in the middle of it? What I've went through has served to advance the gospel. If nothing else, if nobody remembers my name, that's fine. If nobody remembers anything that I said, that's fine. If nobody remembers anything about this ministry except for this one thing, well, I knew Ron went through this, and I knew he faced this, and I knew he went through this, and I knew he went through this. And the one thing that I know is he didn't quit. By the grace of God, he kept on going. You know the reason why we know about Paul? It's because he didn't quit. He didn't give up. I want you to notice the scripture. It says in verse 13, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. I asked God about this. I said, God, what was he truly saying at this? I mean, maybe we understand the surface, but what was really going on here when he said this? And this was so good. There's a lot of humor in this, I think. Because I want you to think about this perspective. It has become clear throughout the whole palace guard. In other words, all the guards that were in the prison where Paul was held. It has become clear through all of them that I'm in chains for Christ. What do you think he was saying? What do you think was coming out of his heart when he was writing that? This is what I think. This is my perspective. Is that Paul's the one that's right. He's supposed to be the one so down and out and there sitting there in the prison and the chains and all this. And can't you just see all the guards that were coming on duty and then going off duty and they all meet in the break room? And the guys that are coming on duty, they're all figuring out who they're going to guard today. What position are they going to be? And can't you just see them all fighting over Who has to go guard Paul? They're like, no, I'm not guarding Paul today. Yeah, that's your turn. I did it yesterday. No, I did it 2 days ago. No, I'm not going to guard Paul. Can't you just see them going back and forth arguing about, I don't want to have to guard Paul, because can't you just see Paul every day? I'm not saying that he was on top of the world every day. I'm not saying he was always singing praises. I can honestly tell you, when I went through cancer, I wasn't, hey, praise God, I got cancer. Isn't this great? This is just wonderful. Wow, praise God. I got to go through treatment today. Yeah, 5 weeks of treatment. This is awesome. Yeah, I love getting sick and puking my guts up. Yeah, this is great. Praise God. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that can't you just see every day another guard coming on duty, and he has to walk in and guard Paul, and Paul going, hey, guy, hey, man, what's going on? Have I ever told you about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Yes, you have, Paul, about 50,000 times. Every other time that I've come to guard you, you've told me a few. Well, just in case I haven't covered everything, let me tell you about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for the next several hours, Paul gets to preach to a captive audience. He's supposed to be the one that's supposed to be the prisoner, but how many can see those guards just coming in every day? I gotta guard Paul today. And you know what? That's why I think he was able to say, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard that I'm in chains for Christ. You know what it does not say? It does not say it's become clear throughout the whole workplace, or through the whole high school, or through my whole neighborhood, that I'm in chains for myself. Because you know what? God would have not allowed this to be penned and put into the Bible if every day somebody would have walked in and Paul would have been sitting there griping and complaining. I can't believe this place. I can't believe I'm not supposed to be in this prison. Are you kidding me? It's not fair. My dad walked out on me. Life is, it's done. I'm going to give up. No, it's not fair that my wife walked out on me. No, it's not fair that I got cancer. No, it's not fair. It's not fair that my little girl's got a rare incurable disease. No, that's not right. That's not fair. You know what? He would have never been allowed to write these words of victory and promise in the Word of God, if every day another guard would have walked on duty and said, this is completely unfair. Do you know how bad the food is? I can't believe the conditions. Do you know how hard this mattress is? These chains are too tight. No. You know what I believe? For most days, every day that they walked in, Paul was like, let me tell you about my loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I was down and out and I thought I was going to die, God healed me. God set me free. When I was a scared little boy at the hands of a child pedophile, my God showed up and he allowed me to survive. Let me tell you about my Lord and Savior. I want to sing, shout to the Lord. Oh, come on, saints of God. Oh, can't you hear the praises that came out of his mouth? The song that was in his heart and the praise that is on his lips. I would ask you the question, whatever you went through, whatever your prison was, what do people say that you're in chains for? For yourself? Because you're the person that walks in the job every day griping and complaining and down and out and upset. Life ain't fair. Can't believe the government did this. Can't believe my company did this. Can't believe this. Or do you come in every day and say, well, praise God anyway. I'm going to make it because God is my provider and God is my hope and God is my future and God is my healing and God is my deliverer. We have a chance and an opportunity to take what the enemy intended to be for bad and allow God to turn it into something good. You know, a week ago I was standing there walking around in these soccer salvation camps. We take a time out in the morning session is to have every team, they break off in their team, and there was 11 kids per team at this camp, and they break off with their coach, which is somebody from their local church that we're working with, and they have a 10-minute devotion, and then they have a prayer time. And you know what I've done? Nearly every one of these 30 soccer salvation camps that we've held around the world in places like Bangkok, Thailand, places like Brozni, Latvia, places like Tenerife, Canary Islands in Spain, Nicaragua, Dominican Republic. Do you know what I do to immediately grab a hold of those little kids, because you know what? They look at me and they look at me as an American and they think I have all the money that I possibly need. They think that I've never went through anything hard. And you know what I do? I start talking about a little boy that was so embarrassed of his home growing up because we were so poor that I didn't even have a floor in my bedroom. I lived in the attic, and it wasn't a sheetrock remodeled attic. It was just an attic. I was embarrassed. I talk about there were snakes in my bedroom. There were animals in my bedroom that weren't supposed to be there, unauthorized. I talk about the little boy that was at the hands of a child pedophile. I talk about going through cancer and the doctor being an arrogant doctor, thinking he got it all after surgery and never told me to do any follow-up. And only because of my own research, I found out 4 months later that the cancer was not gone, but it spread into my lymphatic system. And if I would have listened to the doctor, I would have died because it would have continued to spread, and I thought it was completely gone. 2 months, almost 3 months ago, I was in the hospital for 6 nights with major back fusion surgery on 2 levels, experiencing incredible pain. And today, standing here not even 3 months out of the surgery, the doctors tell me at least takes 6 months for you to start feeling better. In some cases, it takes an entire year. My doctor's telling me all the time, you got to quit traveling, you got to quit traveling, you got to quit traveling. But God didn't say, Ron, if you follow me and you do what you want, what I want you to do, that it'll be easy. He didn't say it would always be smooth. But he did say, even if you find yourself in a prison, I'll be there every night. Even if you find yourself in hurt and pain and difficulty, I'll be there every step of the way. And that final verse that Paul spoke about, because of what he'd went through, that he encouraged so many brothers and sisters in Christ to walk in the gospel of Jesus Christ and to walk in that right relationship with Jesus Christ more courageously and fearlessly. Tonight, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you face, no matter what could happen tomorrow, you see, you have no idea what this week could face. I remember just down the road in Minneapolis, Minnesota, I spoke one time. I arrived and I spoke on a Sunday morning to 3 services at a church there in Minneapolis. And the pastor approached me before service and he says, I got to tell you about what happened this week. The children's pastors of that church, they had a little 3-year-old girl. And on Wednesday nights after church, they would always clean the church. And one Wednesday night, while they were cleaning the church, their little girl got out in the parking lot. And she was ran over. And she was killed. And I sat there that morning and I preached. And that mom and that dad sat there in that service, brokenhearted, hurting. And only God knew what they could be facing. And there was no way that I could identify with that. There is no way. You see, my little girl, she's lived her entire life with a rare incurable disease. My 13-year-old girl has tumors on her brain and her heart, and there's no cure. There's nothing the doctors can do. And you know, I had a choice the day that she was diagnosed with this, having 7 to 11 seizures every day. I had a choice to make. I could have given up, and I could have said, this is not fair. This is one prison that I don't deserve, God. Do you know how many people, when she was diagnosed just as a 16-month-old little girl, do you know how many people came up and said, well, Ron, are you going to come off the evangelistic field? Are you going to stop traveling? Are you going to stop doing what God's called you to do? And you know what? That's what people expect you to do when you go through tough times, to give up and to quit. But I tell you today, it is not a time to quit, and it's not a time to give up, and it's not a time to stop. It's a time that we determine as the body of Christ, no matter what we're going to go through, that God is going to get us through. Today, my daughter is 13 years old. After 10 and a half years of fighting seizures, God one day says, enough is enough. And even though she still has the tumors on her brain that cause the seizure, God says, I'm going to do a creative miracle. And today she is completely seizure-free. And after 10 and a half years of taking 14 pills a day, over 56,000 pills, she is now off all seizure medicine, even though the same tumors are there. Come on, tell me, my God can't get us through the prisons of life. And you know what my daughter said this week? When we always got different kind of answers when you ask her, what are you going to be? What are you going to do? And God showed me a long time ago that one day Taylor is going to be completely healed and she's going to travel with her daddy around the world. And I'm going to get up and start sharing about a little girl with a rare incurable disease. And then halfway up, my daughter's going to walk out on stage and finish out that testimony and talk about that little girl was me, but today I'm healed. You know what she said this week? She's like, I want to be a preacher. It's the first time I've heard that out of her mouth. She could have given up on life. She's been in special needs her entire life. She's been made fun of. There's a lot of reasons and excuses why we have to give up. But there's far more reasons why we're going to continue to make it with God. Amen? I want you, everybody, to stand with me, if you would, please. Thank you so much. Lord, I thank you and I praise you and I give you glory. God, you are such a faithful God. God, I'm not even close to understanding some of the things that people have went through in this room. God, there's no way in the world that I could even begin to understand. But you do. Just like you understood Paul. Lord, tonight you desire to take those rough times and to turn it into something good. Lord, I want it to be said that everyone in the palace guard knows that I'm in chains for Christ. Lord, I never want to share anything about the things that I've been through as a reason for people to feel sorry or to say, oh, that's so sad. No. Lord, I always wanted to point quickly and directly to you because it is only by your grace that I stand here tonight. Lord, I haven't always done the right thing. I haven't always had the right attitude, Lord. But is it by your grace, the same grace that ministered to Paul that day, gave him the ability to write part of the Word of God, sitting there in a prison with chains on his feet and his arms? God, that's the kind of place that I want to go with you. I want to mature. I want to go to the next level with you, that no matter what I face, no matter what I face this week, that I'm not going to give up. I don't care what the devil throws at me next. I don't care what's in store next. I don't care how dirty he gets. I don't care how unfair it gets.
Lord, I'm going to wake up every day and I'm going to realize and recognize that I'm going to make it. I am a survivor. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I want to ask, with your heads bowed tonight, are you here tonight and you say, I'm really going through something right now. I've got some heavy chains that are trying to weigh me down, and they're trying to stop me, and they're trying to push me back, and they're trying to hold me back, and I refuse tonight to allow the enemy to gain the victory in my life because of the prison, because of the chains, because of the unfairness, because of the situation I'm facing right now. I refuse to allow the enemy to gain the victory, to win in this situation, because my Lord and my Savior has paid the price. He's already fought the battle. The battle's been won, and my future is secure. And you say, Ron, this message was for me. It's as simple as that. Pray for me because of the prison and the chains that I'm in. I refuse to give up. I refuse to quit. I want my prison and my chains to be turned into something for the glory of God. I refuse to give up. Pray for me tonight. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand and say, yes, I want my prison turned into something for the glory and the kingdom of God. Come on, this is not going to be wasted pain tonight. Your pain has been wasted way too long. Your pain has cost way too much. The pain and the things that you've been through, it's way too much that you've been through. It will not be wasted tonight. God is going to use it for the glory of God. Quickly, if you just raised your hand, quickly, if this message is for you, I want you to come and stand at this altar right now, quickly, so we can pray with you and we can stand with you and agree with you. Come on, quickly. There are many, many people here that this message is for tonight. You're going through something right now. You're facing a prison. You're facing chains in your life. And tonight, God wants to turn your mourning, your sadness, your tears into joy. God wants to give victory tonight. God wants to break through tonight. Come on, tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. Come on, quickly. Come on, we're gonna pray with you. We're gonna agree with you right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If this was easy, then everybody would do it. If it was easy to face, then everybody would face it and we would come out victorious no matter what we go through. But the reality is this is not easy. In no way did Paul ever try to promote that it was easy to sit there in prison and be bound by chains. Wasn't easy. But I believe that the things that are worth the most are those that cost the most. Sometimes when we press through these difficult times, God takes us through and we come out on the other side with an appreciation like never before for others that are going to go through the same things. And I want us to pray, church, right now for these that are down here. And I want us to pray, if you have a spouse, if you have a friend, I want you to come and stand with them right now. If you have a child down here, you have somebody down here that you're connected with, I want you to come and stand in agreement with them right now. And let's begin to believe that God is going to turn some sadness into joy tonight. God is going to turn some tears around, of tears of sadness into tears of joy. God's going to turn some situations around tonight. Can we go to the Lord right now? Can we pray? Can we believe? Come on, this is revival. This is a time of awakening. This is a time of healing. This is a time of deliverance. Let's pray right now.